Hello again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. A professional football player is in the hot seat this week as he faces charges of child abuse tied to corporal punishment. Adrian Peterson allegedly hit his four-year-old son with a tree branch while disciplining him and faces charges in Texas of reckless or negligent injury to a child. He also faces allegations of child abuse towards another one of his children. But Peterson is defending his actions and his parenting, claiming that the corporal punishment he received as a child gave him strength to be the man he is today. Peterson said in a statement he did not intend to cause injury to his child. He said he's not the perfect parent, but without a doubt, he is not a child abuser. He was suspended from play last week, but the NFL is allowing to play going forward while the legal process unfolds. Corporal punishment is still legal in 19 states, but is it right? Is it necessary? Or is it tantamount to abuse these days? We want to know what you think. To be part of today's discussion, give us a call at 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Of course, you can always get in touch with us online at VoxPop at WAMC.org. And I urge you to do this. You know, my dear friends, this is a program called The Vox Pop. Right now, not one person is on the phone. Bruce Herbach is ready to answer your calls. He knows what he's doing. You know what you're doing. Put another way, you're the guest. There's 1-800-348-2551. If you're a psychologist, if you're a social worker, if you're a parent, if you're a nanny, all those people have insights into this thing. To me, it's quite clear, you know, you don't hit your four-year-old child. What's the matter with you? You know, there are lots of ways that one can deal with their children. You can talk to them. You can give them quiet time. You can do this. You can do that. But the idea of open wounds and whipping the scrotum of a four-year-old child is beyond anything that I can possibly imagine. Four of you are on there now, and I appreciate it very much. 1-800-348-2551. And, you know, it really is an eye-opener. Now, of course, you know, here's where I can get myself into a lot of trouble. But, you know, football is a pretty brutal game, and it takes the most brutal of them to do well. Now, I'm not sitting here telling you all football players are brutal, because they certainly aren't. Got that? They certainly aren't. One guy keeps calling me, telling me what I said when I didn't say it. But I can tell you that it is a brutal game. We know it. We know more and more that people are suffering head trauma and everything else, and psychological trauma. And I know that, you know, there's a lot to say. But I'm looking forward to hearing from all of you, from those of you who may have gone to parochial school and had somebody lay hands on you. Whatever. Let's go to Joan. Okay, Joan, you're on.
Thank you, Alan.
Yes, dear.
I'm glad that you're talking about this topic of abuse. I went to parochial school,
yep.
Catholic high school and Catholic college. I'm glad you mentioned that. My brother, who also was in parochial school, was put in a closet and told to come out when he could read the chapter. You know, the little piece. He was in the first grade. Hitting a child, if you hit an adult, it's against the law. Hitting a child should be against the law.
Well, it should, and in most states it is. 19 states it isn't now.
Exactly. It's inhumane. If you hit a dog,
yep. If
you hit a dog, a lot of times it's considered against the law and it's abusive. A small human being who cannot defend themselves, who cannot speak in the same way, and who don't vote. We need to reach out. A society is judged by how it treats its weakest ones. And the weakest ones, and many times, children who are hit and abused during their first year of life, we have to acknowledge and see what's going on. It's like, you know.
What do you remember from parochial school, Joan, when you were hit?
I wasn't hit. I made the mistake of asking for a pencil to a girl next to me in Spanish. And when my mother came in, I still remember that she came in because my brother was sick in the first grade. I was in the second grade. She found me kneeling in a dark hallway.
I'm sorry, I missed. What happened?
My mother found me kneeling. I was made to leave the classroom and kneel down in a dark hallway. I cannot remember that as an adult. I always remember it as a child. But I remember my mother going to bat for me at the principal's office and saying that it was wrong. And this was in the 1950s,
which is unusual.
Another time, as a teenager, I got into trouble. I lived in New York City at the time, and people looked at me and were upset with me when I told a woman, she's an Oriental woman, she was hitting her child on the subway station. And I don't know what possessed me. I said to her, no, stop. And, you know, this is an important conversation that America needs to have.
Joan, we have so many people behind you, but I appreciate it a lot. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Let's go to Diane in Winston, Connecticut. Okay, Diane. Diane.
Hi.
Hi.
There's a phenomenon called identification with the aggressor. It's very central to, you know, the psychology of people who were abused as children.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just more than a child can take in to, you know, this is the person they are completely dependent on who's hurting them.
The note on the window says you're a psychiatrist, are you?
Yes.
Okay, so tell us about that. I mean, I'm very impressed and I'm very thankful that you're calling. But you can make a permanent imprint on the child. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yes, and his statement, I forgot the name of the football player who abused his son. His statement that it made him into a better man, even though he did express some reservations, you know, and acknowledged after seeing somebody that there might be a better way. He obviously was victimized so that, you know, that he's left with no other option but to think it was, you know, all for the best.
Yeah.
In order to protect his relationship with his parents.
Yeah, four-year-old. Oh, that's interesting, to protect his relationship with his parents.
Well, yes. But the rage, the humiliation, all of the inevitable feelings that someone has, you know, immediately upon being violated and victimized that way, you know, just as the sheer reflex, right?
Yeah, sure.
All of that stuff gets driven underground, gets turned against the self, and as we, most of us know, gets revisited again on our own children. And, you know, when one has children, and the only way to break that cycle is to really feel all of those buried feelings of anger and pain and all the negative emotions that anyone would feel.
Teach somebody to let it go. In other words, it's not permanent. It's not something that
Absolutely not. I myself, I mean, my mother was crippled, and she used to beat my sister and I with her cane.
Oh, boy.
I mean, I have to laugh. It's so awful. But, no, and it's only, and I never hit my own children, but that's because I had a lifetime, very painful help, therapy, and understanding my own feelings. And even so, you know, I'm kind of hardwired to be a little bit hypervigilant.
Indeed. Hey, Diane, I'm so sorry we're up against the hard break, and I thank you.
I really thank you
for making this call. Very helpful.
The bottom line is the research is in, and, you know, the price you pay for some short-term obedience is absolutely, you know, unequivocally not worth it.
Again, Diane, thank you for calling. Appreciate
sure.
it.
Sure. Yeah. My pleasure. Thank you, Alan.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
support comes from Laurie Stillwell CPA PC, providing tax and accounting services for businesses and their owners in Saratoga Springs and beyond. StillwellCPA.com. Unison Arts Center, New Paltz, presenting the second annual Founders Day celebration with comedian and folk singer Christine Lavin, Saturday at 7, unisonarts.org. Washington County Tourism, presenting the Southern Adirondack Fiber Festival, September 27th and 28th at the Washington County Fairgrounds. Vendors, workshops, classes, animals, food, and entertainment, washingtonnycounty.com. And Sheehy Opticians, Albany, New York, providing eyeglasses, contact lenses, and eye exams since 1953. SHEEHYOpticians.com.
And we go back to the phones. We have one free phone, but Crystal in Albany is... No, we have no free phones right now. Crystal in Albany, you're on. Go ahead, Crystal.
Hello. Here's just sorry, 1 second. There we go. All right. I wanted to speak to this issue, having been a child and having witnessed corporal punishment years ago. I mean, it was a long time ago, but I remember there was one child who had misbehaved in some fashion. I don't remember what the misbehavior was. But they decided to have the entire school assemble and have the student beaten with a paddle. This was in 1982, so it's not, you know.
What school? What school was it?
Oh, goodness. I went to so many different schools. I don't remember the name of it.
No, but was it a parochial school? Was it a regular school?
No, it was a regular public school. It was in Indiana. And, I think witnessing it was very, very shocking. And it didn't work because, it traumatized me, and I think it traumatized many other students.
Interesting.
In addition to the student being punished. But that was the school that a few weeks later actually had a full-scale riot. So it just,
What was the nature of the riot, Crystal?
The particular riot,
You don't remember.
I think it started because some students were arguing, and one of the monitors on the playground got involved, and pretty soon there was this huge pile of people all fighting, and it pretty much, I think, taught students that, that the way you solve your problems is to hit someone, and so they did.
Yeah, violence begets violence, yes?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, Crystal, that's a terrible story, but it's a very instructive one, and I'm glad you told it. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. All right, bye-bye.
Let's go to Ed in Guilderland. Ed, you're on.
Hello, Alan. I'm calling in to basically voice that I am completely opposed to any form of corporal punishment. I have both a military background and a healthcare background. And with a child, basically you have a developing brain. You've got the prefrontal cortex that's not completely formed yet. And as an adult, you have to have the patience to repeat and repeat and repeat to a kid, because physiologically, they're going to keep making the same mistake again. It's beyond their control. Hitting a kid doesn't do anything except scare them. You're taking a brain that's already challenged to learn a lesson, and now you're making it afraid.
Okay, so Ed, I wanted to ask you a question. Let me give you an example. Somebody talked to me today about this. A very educated and wonderful man who said he only touched one of his children once, and because she ran out in the street and almost got hit by a car, which screeched.
I had the same exact experience.
What'd you
say? I never hit my kid. Same thing. And I regretted it the second I did it.
Yeah.
I was terrified. I watched my kid almost get hit by a car.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you think under no circumstances is it appropriate to say, okay, this is so important, I want to save my kid's life, that a little bit of a pat on the behind is still not justified?
No, because I can understand the severity of the issue, but the important thing is for the kid to actually learn. And if you frighten a child, that's not learn. That's conditioned behavior, and there's a difference between obedience, the frightened obedience of someone that's been cowed, and sitting down and actually explaining to a child so that they understand what it is that they have to learn.
Gotcha.
And if you take a kid and you tell them, you know, if you actually make them think, if you run out into the street in front of a car without looking, there are some really, really horrible circumstances that can come from that. And if you have the kid think about it and weigh that, well, it's going to have a much more lasting effect. And it provides a foundation for them to build upon.
Well, I agree with you, Ed. But there are a lot of people behind you. I appreciate it. You're a man of great wisdom, and I really appreciate your call. Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. We'll go to Ken in Rosendale. Ken, you're on.
Hi, Alan. You know, I'm listening to this, and I'll say that I believe in corporal punishment.
But you believe
there's
in
a couple,
it?
Yeah, listen, there's a couple of things that have just been brought up by the other callers that I'd like to point out. One, most of the time you have very successful, intelligent people that are productive members of society that were spanked, and they're the ones calling in. They're not calling in from jail. And then you have a lady who equates somebody getting paddled in public, which I'm not for, to a riot, like one led to the other. And then you have the third caller say, you know, you have to tell your kids and tell them and repeat and repeat. And then as if, when a dangerous situation arises, you only need to tell them that once. I think we're making, in my opinion, I think we've become soft. If you look at some of the things that are happening in our society, they didn't happen when kids were getting spanked. You know, you have kids that are playing the knockout game. You have young kids that are knocking out and punching people in the face for fun. You have a total and absolute lack of respect for authority, for human beings, and for other people. And if these kids may have gotten their tails lit up, maybe they wouldn't behave in such a manner.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Are you a parent?
Yes, I have 7 kids.
Have you employed corporal punishment with the kids?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. On my children, yes. I have 4 kids. Yes, on my children, yes.
And what do you think their reaction to that is? I mean, I'm very interested in this.
This is the difference between the way I was raised and my father and the way I raised my children. I was spanked as a kid, and I'm a fairly productive, intelligent member of our society, and I remember getting spanked. It's because I deserved it, and I'm with my mother or my father at wit's end. But with my own children, the balancing and the difference between then and now is I love up on my kids. I hug them all the time. I cuddle with them. We have cuddle time. I'm very emotional with my children. But there are times where I do put my hand on their butts and I say, I love you so much, I cannot allow you to behave in this manner. And that's the way I present it. And I've had my children come to me afterwards, you know, and I talk about it afterwards. And I've had my own kids come up and say, hey, Dad, I'm sorry. I realize that this was, you know, I shouldn't have done this. Mm-hmm. And I have a great relationship with my children. I'm not what Adrian Peterson did was a little extreme. If you look at the photos, you can't defend it. He made an error in judgment and in force.
He had open wounds. Open wounds.
Hey, Alan, did you just see what I said? I'm not condoning that. But by all accounts, Adrian Peterson is an excellent human being. He's a stand-up guy. He's not a thug. He's not a druggie. He's not in, you know, there's no... Adrian Peterson, by every account, is a decent, good, honorable man who made a mistake in his force and disciplining his children. And I'm not for a switch, you know. I'm not for that at all. But I'm saying that, in my opinion, the anecdotal evidence of the lack of respect of these kids, that once again, you know, you have gang violence, you have kids just playing knockout games, you have kids doing horrible things.
Okay, you said that already. Hey, Ken, I appreciate your call for a number of reasons, one of which is, well, we don't agree, obviously. It's important that you make it and that everybody has a voice here. And
hey, Alan, can I ask you a quick question? Were you spanked as a kid?
No.
Okay.
No. Not as a kid. Nope.
But I do find it kind of interesting that you have so many intelligent people calling in. And they're okay. There's psychological trauma. We become soft as a society. We're afraid to work. We're afraid to discipline. Our kids run our lives. They dress inappropriate. They think they're entitled to everything. I think a little bit of discipline, and there's a difference between
abuse
and
discipline. But you can deal with all of that, can you not, without resorting to hitting?
Not always, Alan. Not always. Sometimes the kids, sometimes you can deal with it by spanking. Yeah. I would argue that you could deal with it by spanking
okay,
as
and,
well.
And Ken, and so you have argued. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. Really, I mean
thank
that.
You. God bless.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to, let's see here. Lynn in Shelburne. Okay, Lynn, you're on.
Hi, Alan. As to Adrian Peterson, I think he acted out of inability to express express himself verbally. And frustration is not a good reason to spank a child. I don't spank my children. I've never spanked my children. But, you know, the prevalence down south doesn't make any difference. It's probably up here, too. And the other thing is that if you speak, if you can't speak, and you have to have verbiage to, you know, be able to tell your child what's going on or express to your child what's going on, then you're not going to be able to help them. You know, you can't just beat them up because you can't speak right, that's all. You can't beat him because you cannot speak right.
Well, of course, you're suggesting that he is not a verbal person. We don't know that, do we? I mean, how do we know it?
No, we do not know that.
Yeah.
But we don't know. But did he do him in scrotum, really?
That's what he said. I read somewhere. Yeah,
that really must have been out of frustration. It has to be. You know, nobody would do that to a child without frustration, without being able to speak in a way that made sense. He didn't learn how to do that because his father didn't do that.
Well, there are a lot of different ways of explaining this, but I think your point about frustration is well taken, and I think it's something that every human being has to deal with, you know, and
yes, the frustration, yes, but the lack of ability to halt your own heated fear, which it is, it's just fear, and just look at it. I mean, the child is in fear, too. If, you know, he's going across the road, and he almost gets hit by a car, the car's braking, you know, it's like, hello? The kid is already scared.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I couldn't agree more. Yeah.
You're the one that's scared. And you're going to take it out on the kid?
Lynn, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Bye now.
Yep, bye. Let's go to Phil in Amherst. Phil, have I ever told you how much
I love
Amherst? Go ahead.
Hi. I'm one of those people that got beaten with those branches. We called it birch pudding. And what happened is, after we came to America from the camps in Germany, my parents were very unhappy, and they argued, and so I copied them, and since I had a younger sister, I did what my parents were doing, and for that I got punished. I was told that I would appreciate it later. The only thing that anyone learns from getting corporal punishment is if you're bigger and stronger, then you can do the punishing.
Yeah.
So all it does is make you want revenge, makes you want to hate the person that did it to you, and wait till they get older and somewhat senile, then it'll be the time. And there's a lot of elder abuse going on.
Yeah, there is. There is. Hey, Phil, thank you for the call. You make great sense. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Okay. 1-800-348-2551 from Abigail. The media TV is the message. The media evokes some awfully stupid behavior. However, corporal punishment is not a black and white issue, no pun intended. And from Jill, I have a sister and several friends who are formed in fundamentalist Christians. They believe in the biblical meaning of discipline. I don't know the Bible scripture this is stated. At any rate, corporal punishment expected and accepted. I know individuals who began spanking their children with a wooden spoon at 1 year old, and as they got older, escalated to the belt about 4, 5, or 6. I'm not saying it's right, but there are those who hold fast this doctrine. They just make sure it's done behind closed doors. Well, you say, and I believe me, Jill, you have your right to say it, that you don't know. I'm not saying it's right. I know it's wrong. That's the least for me. But anyway, well, let's go to Robert in Schenectady. Robert in Schenectady, you're on the phone.
Hi, it's Roberta.
I'm
Allen.
So sorry.
Good morning. That's no problem. I've spoken with people when I lived in Tennessee who believed in corporal punishment. And before instituting the wax, on the behind, it was explained to the child why I am doing this, and there was a specific paddle or a specific whatever with which the child got whacked. The child was never hit in anger. But it would appear that Peterson perhaps grabbed the nearest instrument of destruction, being a branch, and in anger took it out on his 4-year-old child. That is not disciplining. That is child abuse.
And Roberta, my friend, I want to know whether you think that there are times that children should be hit.
I don't think so. Although I do have a friend who spanked her kid with an open hand on the rear when the child ran out into the street.
Yeah.
But it wasn't with a switch, and she certainly didn't raise welts or blood.
Mm-hmm.
I think in most cases, for most people, when they hit a child, they are, first of all, modeling the behavior they saw as a child, and they're doing it out of anger. And basically what you're teaching the child is, yes, it's okay to hit when you're angry.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, the child then becomes fearful of disobeying the parent, but that's not what you don't want a fearful child. You want a child who understands why you don't do certain behavior.
As always, smart, Roberta. I thank you for the call. Appreciate
you're
it.
You're welcome.
Much.
See you in October.
I will indeed. Okay, let's go to Robert in Niskayuna. Robert, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I happen to have been a student of Dr. Spock. I went to Case Western Reserve University in the 60s, and he was a teacher there and taught his course named after his book, Baby in Child Care. And I'm going to tell you that the permissiveness of the Spock teaching has not been good. Children do not, the immature brain does not do well with choice. There's too much choice today, and it has been now for quite a number of years. And this excessively permissive type of raising of children is not good. I think that my wife and I did it excessively permissive with our children, and it was not as good as my parents were much better parents than we were, and I think that their parents were also very excellent parents.
Were you spanked? Robert, were you spanked?
Yes, once.
Uh-huh.
Now, I will tell you, I have three sons, and I have spanked them a total of four times in their life. They're all adults now. Four times between the three of them. And here's my point. When a child does a behavior that is truly dangerous, such as running in the street, such as my oldest son reached up on the snow with the glowing coils one time, threw a hammer that whizzed past his great-grandmother's head and larger than a TV. The child has to have a form of discipline that gives the message not that this is a worse behavior than other behaviors, but that it's different. Because it isn't worse. If the kid throws his food and he's sitting in his little high chair and he throws his spaghetti and meatballs on the floor, if it takes 100 times for him to learn not to do it, it doesn't really matter. But he only has to run in the street one more time or reach up to that hot coil one more time for there to be serious damage. And so the message of whatever the punishment is, and I challenge the people that are against even spanking a kid, again, as this person pointed out, not in anger, I challenge those people to tell me a discipline that won't simply be giving the message that this is a worse behavior. It isn't worse. It's different. It's completely different. And the child has to get the message, this isn't worse than the other misbehavior. It's altogether different. Because the problem has to stop now. You can't do 100 times throwing the food on the floor. You run the street 100 times, you're going to be dead. Right? It has to stop right now.
Robert, I appreciate the call. Thanks for doing it. Appreciate it. Bye. Let us go to really quickly here to Anonymous in Columbia County. Okay, Anonymous, you're on.
Hi, I was hit with a belt when I was a kid.
Yeah.
For something I didn't do. And 40-some-odd years on, I've never forgotten it. And my parents pretend it never happened. And, you know, I don't have kids of my own, but I've taken care of lots of kids, and there's no excuse. There's no excuse for that kind of thing. And I still have never forgotten. And then they pretend it never happened.
Well, but, that's such a good point, Anonymous. You know, the whole idea that, those things can be so traumatic that 40, 50, 60 years later, you can remember it.
I do.
Yeah.
And they just pretend it never happened. But you know what? You know, and I can understand, literally a slap on the wrist, you know, sometimes for a kid, because sometimes kids get out of line. But that's all you need. Or just a really, loud shout at them.
Okay, Anonymous, I'm up against the break. I got to let you go, and thanks for calling. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks a lot. Okay, bye.
Okay, so we'll take a short couple-second break. We'll be right back for Tam and Morty and Allison and anybody else who wants to use these phones. They're there for you, 1-800-348-2551.
Some
support comes from Stone Soup Concrete, East Hampton, Massachusetts, specializing in concrete countertops, sinks, bathtubs, furniture, and architectural elements, serving the Pioneer Valley and New England, stonesoupconcrete.com. Lexington Vacuum, Albany, New York, a local independent vacuum dealer of Miele, Sebo, Simplicity, Dyson, Electrolux, and more. Sales, service, repairs, lexivac.com. Bistro 63 at the Monkey Bar, downtown Amherst, offering casual lunches and dinners featuring steak, seafood, cocktails, and wines using local organic products, banquet facilities, and patio dining, bistro63.com. And Bethel Woods Center for the Arts, presenting the annual Bethel Woods Wine Festival with tastings from more than 20 regional Hudson Valley and Finger Lakes wineries, plus specialty food vendors, Saturday, October 4th from 11 to 4, bethelwoodscenter.org.
Okay, we're back at the Vox Pop. Thank you so much, Zachary, for getting us back. And thank you so much to Bruce Herbach here for answering our phones. All five phones are ringing right now, folks. So give it a moment or get to us at voxpop@wamc.org. Let's go to Tam in Delmar. Okay, Tam, we're trying to get everybody in.
Hi,
so
Alan.
Yeah, hi, dear.
Hi. I just was a teacher for 38 years. I know children can be aggravating. And I just wanted to say a couple of short things. I think we all have a lot of feelings here because of how we were raised. You know, whether we were raised, you know, really permissively, or we were raised really tightly and got spanked or beaten. And I think all parents do the best they can. I don't think there's a parent that doesn't try to do the best they can. But the problem is, as far as I can see it, that we all have this data in our head about how we were raised. And when things get tight or things get in a crisis in a family or scary, that data will come up and we'll try. That's why people often act like their parents when they raise their children. The last thing I want to say is that children do need limits and they ask for help, I think, by setting up situations. So do something really quote-unquote bad. But from what I've learned, I think they need to cry really hard when that happens, or they need to have a tantrum. But I think they really need their parents close by when they do that. We can, you know, let them have their tantrum. I don't think they need time out. I think they need us. And I think in order to do that, parents need to talk with other parents and adults about how they were raised and how bad or good it was, and get some of that off their chest, and then they can really start listening to their children.
Okay, Tam, you make great sense. It's just that I want to get everybody in. I thank you very much for the call. You made some very good points. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Let's go to Marty in Wilbraham. Mary is in Wilbraham, but she's not there anymore. Okay, let's go to Allison in Ulster County. Allison, you're on.
Hi. I wanted to make a point in that I was raised with my mother and father having two very separate views on this. My mother would hit me and my father would refuse to. And I can say without a doubt that my father refusing to touch me made a much greater positive impact on me as a person than my mother resorting to not speaking through things fully and not and just going to actually hitting me, whereas my dad made it very clear. He was stern. He's still a scary guy, but he did it with words. He talked through it, and he made it very clear to me that under no circumstances did he want me as a girl growing up to accept being hit by anyone, and that somebody would have to treat me as a person, that they would have to actually come on an even level with and talk through problems, as opposed to resorting to any sort of violence. And that gave me a really great sense of self-worth that I've never, ever, ever forgotten.
And what are your feelings towards your mother now?
I honestly, I've been working through this for, I'm almost 30 years old, and I still have so many issues with her that it's made things really, really hard. I love her, but I can't forget those times where it just seemed like she lost all sense of being able to reason and resorted to that when my father refused to, and it's never really healed.
Yeah. Well, that's quite a story, Allison. Thank you very much for making it. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's go to Ed in Springfield. Okay, Ed, you're on. Ed. in Springfield. Uh-oh. So I think Ed isn't with us anymore. Ed going once, Ed going twice, Ed goodbye. Okay. All right. Let's go to, what's that? What number is that? I can hardly see it. Well, I still don't know what that is. That's very hard. No, the last one is five? Okay, let's try five. All right. Number five, who are you?
This is Ed.
Oh, this is Ed from Springfield?
Ed from Springfield.
Oh, I see. There were two number ones. Okay, go ahead, Ed. You're on.
Yes, I am a proponent of corporal punishment.
Yeah.
But I think it should be applied as needed. I grew up in a place where corporal punishment was definitely accepted in the Caribbean. And my wife, who is American, she listens well. So we have a three-year-old son, and I really hope he takes that characteristic from her. Because I was more of a, what you would call a hard-ears kid. You know, you had to tell me the same thing over and over and over. So some kids will need punishment, and some just won't. You know, and I think it should not be applied out of anger either.
Well, the big problem is that the devil is in the details. In other words, you say some kids need it, some kids don't, but... You know, I mean, here's a father who may say, okay, my kid deserves to be hit with a switch on his scrotum. Horrible. Definitionally, you have a problem, don't you? I mean, deciding who does what?
Absolutely. And I don't think it shouldn't be something that you do out of anger. It should go with a talking, you know, a good long talking, and after repeated talking. And I have a three-year-old. I will not punish him yet because he does not understand as much. But I think when you know your kid understands and repeatedly violate your discipline to a lecture, it comes a point in time where a quick spanking, you know, might deter them otherwise.
Well, you know, I have to say that I'm a little afraid of your analysis. And we can disagree, but what I'm worried about is that there are parents who, you know, they say, well, a quick spanking is needed here or a quick beating is needed here, and they're, you know, they don't know what they're talking about. They're not particularly sensitive to the needs of the kids. I'm more for the people who say, take your kid aside, and if the kid continues with a tantrum, put him in his room and say, quiet time, and come out when you're done. It seems to me that it's much less violative of the kid and their ego and their needs. Oops. Perhaps it was something I said. Let's go to I don't know that number. What number is on that one? Okay. Number, is that right? No. How many ones can there be? Okay. Number three. We'll go to number three, which is Anonymous from Ulster. Okay, Anonymous, go ahead.
Hi, how are you? Yes, I totally disagree with hitting your child. I was, as a child, scared just to... my parents would try to scare me by attempting to hit me. I would run about the table, and my mother would chase me with a sandal, never get me. But I knew she was just trying to scare me. My father hit me once by mistake because he just wanted to scare me. And the bell snapped at the end and caught me in the back. And he grabbed me. He said, I am so sorry. I will never do that again. I tell my son, if anybody hits you, if anybody touches you, you say no, you come to me. On the other side, the mother of my child was hit as a child. And she hits me, and she hit him recently. And I said, you can't ever do that again. So there you go. You tell me, yeah, the devil is in the detail. I believe so. And I'm coping with this at the moment. So absolutely not. I think when you reach a level of anger, you reach a level of frustration, it's at the moment you have to say, wait, what am I going to do? Hurt a child for the rest of his life, or I'm going to talk to them and I'm going to discipline them in so many other ways. That's it. Thank you.
I appreciate the call very much. I really do.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go. Let's go to... D in Glenmont. D, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My comment is, you know, I was beat as a child, horribly beat as a child, and I don't... most parents who become angry and they hit out of anger. I think as adults now, we need to take a look at that anger goes much deeper. The root cause of anger is really fear. I mean, we're dealing with people. Your kid runs into the street and you scream at them and then you grab a hold of them and you hit them and you're hitting them because you're afraid that they're going to get hurt. I mean, we're really dealing with levels of fear here in people who strike out in anger. And that's pretty much the comment I want.
But Dee, when that happens, I mean, it's very nice of you to understand why people hit. But there are complications, like what the psyche of the kid for the rest of their lives.
Absolutely.
Somebody kills to take it to its natural conclusion because they're afraid. Well, it doesn't justify the act.
Absolutely not. Yeah. Absolutely not. I'm not saying that it justifies it at all.
Yeah, but just it's your insight into why they're doing it.
Right. And I think for those of us who have been abused or hit as children, I'm a Buddhist practitioner, and, you know, we look at our parents or whoever harmed us as these 4-year-old children or 5-year-old children who they themselves were abused. And then you develop this sense of empathy for them. I'm not saying that what they did was right.
Remember why you were beaten?
My father was beaten as a child. That was the only form of discipline or stress management that he knew. And so he beat me out of, you know, he was enraged, just totally enraged for really nothing that I would have done.
Did you ever have a chance to talk to him about it?
I have. I have spoken with him about it. At times when he was lucid, he was able to apologize years later. Not when it happened, certainly not. Yeah. I mean, and to this day, you know, now that he's not so lucid anymore, they absolutely deny it or didn't think it was, they thought it was minimal.
Yeah.
So,
it just goes to show you what minimal can do to a kid, even
absolutely.
If it was. Yeah. Dee, thanks for the great call. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's go to Gerard in Woodstock. Okay, Gerard, you're on.
Hey, Alan. I disagree with you lots of times, but today I have to totally agree with you. Violence begets violence. I went to Catholic schools with the nuns beat me, brothers beat me, my father beat me. And, you know, I have 3 sons. And one day, well, probably about 30 years ago, I found myself beating my 2 older boys, and my youngest one came in with tears in his eyes and said, "Dad, please stop." And I realized that I had just become just like my father. And that was the last time I ever hit my children. Mm. And, you know, it really was because I was terrified. I was scared. I've had to learn in my life how to communicate when I am scared. Just don't, you know, growing up in the Bronx on the streets, you know, you just, when you got scared, you reacted. You fought. Now there's a different way. You know, we can find a different way. And that's the whole thing, is you have to be open to finding the answers. There are answers out there how to deal with, you know, fear. Because that's where people start fighting. That's where people start beating their kids, is because they're scared. How many people have we heard so far talking about that fear is the underlying cause?
Yeah. Hey, Gerard, I want to try to get everybody in. I thank you for this wonderful call. Thank you so much for making it. Appreciate
it. Okay, bye.
Let's go to John in Schenectady. John in Schenectady, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
No, not totally. I mean, I'm thoroughly against the abuse of children, but this is kind of like a backlash. Now, I have the benefit of traveling all over the world and seeing a lot of different cultures, including the Middle East and Asia and, you know, Europe, the whole list goes on. And if we're going to the far extreme where we're stamping out and trying to control every aspect of a parent's life, I mean, these are decisions that parents are going to make. Mm. You're not going to do anything in their own home anyway. Mm. You have to change your culture. I understand all this. But how about the things that we can control, which are violence-prone, which are, I mean, just look at the amount of violence on TV and the amount of violence in the
computers. Well, it's all true, and that's where it comes from. You're exactly right. But do you beat your children?
I don't. I have 4. I wouldn't say that I haven't smacked them on the butt once or twice, but I mean, no. As far as beating like we're talking about, no. Not even close.
Yeah. John, thanks for the call. I'm trying to get everybody in. Appreciate it.
Okay, cheers.
Right, let's go to Susan in Albany. Okay, Susan, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I want to say I think what the football player did to his four-year-old son was horrendous. And but, you know, this has come because this is what was done to him and what he thinks is right. So as part of his punishment, he needs to have to take a class in childhood development because so much more is known now about how children and their brains develop. You know, he needs to be re-educated.
Okay. I agree with you. Thank you for the call, Susan. Appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome. Yeah. Okay. Bye-bye. Right.
Let's go to Denise in Sullivan County. Okay, Denise.
Hi there. Alan?
Hi. Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Thanks for taking my call first. Sure. And second, I come from a Caribbean background. So the reason why I called in is because this I completely understand. It's natural and normal to spank first and ask questions later. But the thing that I think impacted me when I heard the story, he's four. So to me, at this point, a four-year-old, you can speak to a four-year-old. I truly believe instilling like a healthy fear into your children. I think that's very important. I don't see anything wrong with a healthy fear. And you can like portray that with your words in a four-year-old. Beyond that, that's a different story. My dad had to basically stop my mom from hitting me. Now, not in a bad way. I love her to pieces. She's my everything. She's my world. However, she really didn't stop physically putting her hand on me until I was around 19 years old. Am I a horrible person because of that?
Well,
do
no,
I hate her because of that? No.
That's not the question. The question is, have you ever talked to her about why she did it?
Exactly. And that's exactly why when she spoke to when my dad had to finally step in, he said, listen, she's of the age where she can understand and comprehend what you're saying. There's no need for you to hit her anymore. And I think that's the issue. Everyone needs to understand or at least have a relationship with their children where they know their children's boundaries and they're able to say and express what they want them to do in a proper manner. Okay. Beyond that, you can't, a four-year-old, you know, they're still learning. They're still building. They're still, you know, picking up everything from their environment. There's no reason, realistically, unless, I mean, I can't say unless. It's really, you know, I'm very disappointed, and I'm hurt that he did that to a four-year-old.
Okay, Denise, I got to stop you there because
we're
almost
out of
time.
Thank you so much, Alan. You're awesome. Bye.
Let's go to Alan in Greenfield. Alan, it has to be really fast. Go ahead.
Okay, my point was nobody has brought up the fact that this fella's black. Mm-hmm. And that there's probably a culture of hitting, you know, slavery. There was whipping, hitting.
Yeah, but a lot of, but Alan, because I wish I could spend more time with you on this. Clearly, a lot of white people beat their kids.
Of course. And there, you know, there's a history there too, Alan.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it takes time to get past all this.
It does. It does. And I wish we could spend some more time on it because it's a very interesting topic, but we're out of time. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Alan. Yeah. Bye.
Okay. And I want to give a big apology to Jim and Troy and who says parents hit kids because parents hit them, and Scott in East Hampton and is a small. His okay, I think Scott said. But in any case, we are out of time. And again, I appreciate everyone who called in today. I asked you to do it. You all did a great job. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Curran Compliance Services, hosting a national symposium on life insurance compliance, November 12th through the 14th in Saratoga Springs, featuring keynote speaker Cynthia Cooper, author of Extraordinary Circumstances, currancompliance.com, Catskill Animal Sanctuary, Saugerties, New York, presenting the 13th annual Shindig, a festival of vegan living on Saturday, October 11th, vendors, cooking, demos, speakers, live music, silent auction, rescued animals, hayrides, and more, casanctuary.org, Kenko Work and Play Outfitters, Route 28, Kingston, locally owned outdoor outfitters supporting kayaking, hiking, archery, fly fishing, and more in the Hudson Valley since 1982, atkenko.com. And thanks again for joining us. Thanks to Zach Malloy, who's at the controls, and to our wonderful Bruce Herbeck and our wonderful Jessica Blaustein Marshall, the producer who does all the work for us. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.